For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arcan, Andy Hart, 617-779-7937 is the phone number if you'd like to chime in. Nice to have you with us here today on a Victory Monday from Gillette Stadium. We spoke with Jonathan Jones and Drake May. If you missed any of that, you can check it out on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Download it and subscribe to WEEI Afternoons. Also, good news, if you missed it, we replay the interview at 5 o'clock on the dot. So don't miss that either. The Patriots defense, Andy Hart, shining in this game, so much so that Drake May opened his press conference. Do we have this? Drake May opened the press conference yesterday insisting that the media, which I'm surprised Bill never did this, that the media get up, get on your feet. No, I didn't say all that.
No, he said put your hands down,
phones down, notebooks down, laptops down, tape recorders down, everything down. And let's get a nice little round of applause here for the defense. How about that defense, everybody? And that's how he started it. And Andy Hart didn't love that. Do we have it, Stiz? If this is this is what it sounded like right as May came to the podium.
Clap it up for the defense, man. Clap it up. Clap it up. Somebody else clap up. There we go. Appreciate you. There we go.
Drake, let's start with that defense. What was it like to watch?
All right, we don't have to play the question. Don't care about that. But
Thank God Zoe stepped up.
That was Zolak doing the clapping.
That's reportedly, I think he even talked about it a little bit, which I actually have no problem with because he's kind of a member of the team.
He's a mascot.
He gets, I'm guessing he gets a ring if they ever win another Super Bowl.
Probably, that kind of thing.
So,
good thing Shime wasn't there. He would have taken his clothes off.
He probably would have. It was very awkward. Even he sensed the awkward nature. He's like, somebody else clap, please. I'm the only one clapping here.
Oh, jeez.
This didn't go well like I thought it would.
Well, why'd it bother you, though? Like, who cares?
It's just weird. It's just weird. Like, and I understand
it's a little high school, you know. Like,
well, apparently it's also college. I didn't know this. Ben Volen actually responded to my critical tweet about this, saying that. And Ben Volen covered some, I don't know, Alabama or something down there. I think he covered some college football down there. That apparently in a lot of big time college football press conferences, there's a lot of boosters in the room that will cheer and say things and do things during press conferences. You know, those million-dollar men who love the sport. So maybe he comes from that world and thought there were people in the room that would cheer. But, I mean, didn't we talk about this a few weeks ago? I think Paul Perilla was critical of too many reporters actually cheering for the team, and now Drake May's actually asking them to cheer for the team. And, again, I have no problem that he wants to do it.
Right.
I would have just led with, first of all, before I start, I got to give a round of applause to my defense today. And then it's not awkward at all. It's just you, right? Like, you're the one. You're not trying to start a chant.
At least he wasn't like, I can't hear you.
Right.
Like, come on.
When I say D, you say fence. When I say sack, you say bears. Like, no, he didn't do any of that.
Doing like the Hulk Hogan ear.
Yes.
Like, you know, come on.
But it's just weird. And maybe nobody clapped. I would give them all credit if they didn't clap because that's an awkward situation. And you do have the guy like really begging you to clap. And you might be sort of inclined to just.
As I said, Jeb Bush style, please clap.
Help a guy out.
Would you have clapped?
Be honest. Huh?
You would have clapped.
No, I wouldn't have.
Yes, you would have.
No.
You'd do anything Drake May tells you.
I don't think that's true. I think in the old days when I freaking worked for the Patriots, I wouldn't have clapped. And then probably would have gotten in trouble. Why'd you support the quarterback? As Bill used to say to us, we know you're with us, win or tie. Bill used to say that to us.
That's a pretty good line.
It was a decent line.
The defense, though, I mean, listen, that was obviously the strong point of the game yesterday. You and I both agree that that may be more of a reflection of the Chicago Bears necessarily than the Patriots and what their defense is at this point. But I do think, regardless of all of that, you have to admit that they were out there executing. It was about as organized as they've looked all season. I thought the offense at the half looked organized. I think that Covington, Mayo, even Alex Van Pelt, the defense, the coaching, and the run game all of that stuff was as good as it's looked all year.
And this is, you mentioned earlier, could this be, I forgot how you asked it, but I was like, it's not. Like, they're going to play a better Rams team, I think, this week. There's a couple Bills games. Like, you don't have the Bears on the schedule moving forward. You don't get to play the Bears every week.
Nope.
But I do think for DeMarcus Covington and the game planning process, like, this is a fruitful game where you put together a game plan. It really came together. Now, I will also say, I don't know if Jerod Mayo was heavily involved in that. Like, I know Drake May, the end of the second quarter that you were talking about, he praised Jerod Mayo for the look that they got on defense that they had seen during practice that allowed that to play out. So I know we kind of sometimes almost imply that Jerod Mayo is hands-off and isn't doing anything. Well, that was your quarterback saying, I'm giving him credit, Jerod Mayo, for what the look we had in practice and getting me ready for that situation. So I do think he's probably active in the defensive game planning process with DeMarcus Covington, even though this morning he put it on the coordinators, great game plans. They do their work, a lot of praise, a lot of hours. But I think this can be a building block for Covington because I think he was sneaky getting criticized. It was like Alex Van Pelt took the brunt of the criticism because it's more obvious and people hate offensive play calling and, oh, you're going to hurt Drake May and blah, 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 blah down that road. I don't think the defense was always great in terms of play calling and game plans and some of the things they've done. This was, I thought they hit a home run. I can't even really think of one thing I didn't like about the defense all day long. And maybe they can build off that. And even the confidence of the players.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so you did it against an inferior team. Did you find something in Brendan Schooler? It's kind of like Jonathan Jones was joking about. He can run and he can tackle.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what defense is all about. What did he say? Like, so we keep you a couple, teach you a couple formations and you can play.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So maybe there, or Jennings, who's, I think, kind of pigeonholed as an edge setter in the run game. Well, he got after the quarterback a little bit. They were kind of coverage sacks, but whatever. Mm-hmm. He finished. I think there's some things the defense can build on that will make them better against the Rams or, you know, other foes down the road, even if that team isn't as defeated as the Bears seem to be.
Well, speaking of being defeated, the Patriots now with this win have maybe defeated their chances of the first overall pick. They are now seventh overall pick, according to Tankathon, with a record of 3-7. That's tied with the Jets for the 10th spot there in the AFC. The Indianapolis Colts are a playoff team right now. They have the tiebreaker over Cincinnati. They're the eighth team there on the list. They're only one game better than the Patriots, and the Patriots play the Colts in a couple weeks. And that might be their last really winnable game because we all thought Arizona was going to be a winnable game. They've turned out to be a pretty good team. They're a tough matchup week in and week out. The Chargers are good. You got the Bills twice. Like this, you're right. This may be the last time we really get to cheer on anything the Patriots really do. However, if they found something here, they run into another team that has a big injury or a coaching issue or who the hell knows what. I mean, it's the NFL. Things happen. And they, with that one win to get the 3-7 now, are right on the outside of this wild card spot.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah. I see a lot of, oh, they're two games out of the playoff. Yeah, they're also two games from being one and whatever and having the number one pick.
They're like, one game away from being the worst team in the league.
Yeah, so, I mean, let's not
pretend. Which is the Jaguars are right now at 2-8.
So, and they're a mess.
Yep.
You see Doug Peterson getting all pissy.
I sure did.
Yeah, he's a dink.
I thought Mac Jones, that first quarter, I was like, ooh, Mac Jones looking good. This is going to be one of those kind of weeks where you get to go, oh, hey, what about if you hadn't mismanaged Mac Jones? Look, you could be doing this right now. And then the rest of the game happened, and oh, my God, that was a tough one.
Not so fast,
that was
my
a
friend.
Tough, tough game. But I'll give him this. That Jaguars defense, that was the best I've seen anybody play against Minnesota all year.
Yeah, Minnesota didn't have a great day.
Yeah, Darnold was awful.
But they found a way to win. Was it 12-7?
Mm-hmm.
I think was the final score. But just getting back to the Patriots and winnable games and perceptions.
Yeah.
This is where the homer in Andy is going to come out. I also think we haven't seen that real Drake May breakout performance.
We haven't, you're
four
right.
Four touchdowns, no interceptions, rushes
yards,
for one.
Something like that, yeah.
Like he hits Booty in stride. He hits Hunter Henry in stride. What are you laughing at? For Zoko over there. Jeez, it's Booty. That's what you do.
No, it's Booty. I don't know.
No, it's Booty. So I don't rule out any one of those games. Like, you love to say division games.
Mm-hmm.
So
They beat the Bills last year. Maybe
I know.
Be one
and
of those
and I continue to say, seeing Josh Allen 2.0 beat Josh Allen 1.0 would be a really nice feather in the cap
would
of this
be cool.
team.
I want him to win more games than last year just to shut up Bill and all those people, Lombardi and Patricia and all those guys. That'd be fun. But that's all I'm really rooting for.
I'll allow five.
Yeah.
I can't allow six because I took the under on 5.5, so I can only allow five.
Five, you might be a playoff team.
What?
Just kidding. I was talking about the way the season's
going. Oh,
you're probably not going to be
I know.
A
you really – You've become a little bit of a grumpy old man in all sports about that.
How so?
The NBA stinks. There's like four good teams. The NFL stinks. Everybody's got two or three wins. Rah, 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 rah. In my day, football teams were dominant, and there was great talent across the league.
That's an even better impression of me than Fitzy's. But I would say this. The NFL does kind of suck right now. That's why 3-7 teams are on the cusp of the wild card.
They're not this actually.
Now, at this point in the season, they are. I know other teams are going to keep
winning.
I don't
want to burst Coco's
bubble.
That's
where you are.
We did this like multiple times in the last few years, the Cam Newton year. There's a path to the playoffs.
And I never believed
it
then
either. This happens and that happens.
And I don't believe it this year either. I'm just saying, look at the teams and look at the records. There's a lot of bad teams in the league this year. There was a lot of bad games yesterday, too.
Yes.
I thought that was a bad slate of games. Let's be honest here. There were some unwatchable games in the NFL yesterday. Yours kind of was one, too. I'm being honest here. I tell you when it's good. I tell you when I like a game. That was a bad slate of games. And the NBA kind of sucks right now, too, to start the year. I don't think it's going to be like that all year. And when the NFL playoffs come around, we're all going to watch them, and it's going to be great and all that. But right now, the regular season's left a little to be desired here. And maybe this is just what it looks like when your team sucks and you're noticing all the other teams that suck. It's like when you buy a certain type of car and you're on the road and you're like, wow, there's a lot of people driving Ford Tauruses on the road.
All the time.
It's like that.
You when switch you cars and you think they're everywhere.
Right.
You're like, they've probably been there all along. I just didn't notice.
So, like, in the NFL, when you suck, you notice all the other teams that suck, and it just seems more prevalent, I guess. It could be something like that.
Yeah, or we could just ask Ross Tucker tomorrow, because he is the expert, as he's told us many times, on sucky football. As
he is.
The what does he say? He does the sixth game for CBS, so he sees the bad football games. No, I do think there's bad games, and I do think there's bad teams. And some of them, you know, I was talking about it with somebody this morning. There's going to be a quarter of the league looking for a coach, somewhere in that range, you know, that's big turnover. And if a quarter of the league is looking for a coach, what does that mean? A quarter of the league stinks.
Yep.
You know, you don't fire your coach from a good football team. You fire your coach because you're going nowhere. You're a bad football team. So having 25% of your teams be really bad.
And that's what happened last year. So, I mean, there's also a bunch of first-year coaches. They're probably out of the woods. But in general, yeah, I think you're right.
But that doesn't mean they're good. Just because they're out of the woods doesn't mean they're good.
No, I agree. And they'll probably get fired soon. The Rams are next week. Then you got the Dolphins in Miami. Winnable game? I think so. I mean, I think that's...
I mean, sure.
Why not? You know,
I mean, do I think they'll win? No.
Probably not, but I don't think it's out of the question. Colts, I don't think, out of the question either. Cardinals, I'm starting to think, is a team they're not going to beat. Same with Buffalo, same with the Chargers, and that's the rest of the season there. So, I don't know. I mean, I'd like to see him get back to four to at least tie what Bill did last year to give those guys a little bit of comeuppance and all the people who are still hung up on Belichick. All right, well, here comes Gerard Mayo and the rest of these guys, and they did exactly what you did last year, so shut up already.
So I got into a little argument with Lions about this in the postgame last night. I want to get your opinion.
Sure.
And I think you're more on Lions' side than my side based on previous arguments we've had.
Mm-hmm.
But he's big on wins, wins, wins. If they can win seven games, I think that'd be the greatest thing. Like, this team, you need to learn how to win, and that's really important. That's more important than getting a draft pick, and if they pick 15th because of it, they pick 15th. I couldn't disagree more. I think they need talent. I think they need blue-chip talent. I don't want them falling out of blue-chip talent, whether that's a wide receiver or a tackle, falling out of that top 10 or wherever you could end up. Because I'm of the belief, it doesn't matter how many games you win. If you have losers on your team, you're going to be losers. And it also doesn't matter how many games you lose. If you have good talent and good competitors, like, I don't think Drake May will ever be a loser. I think Drake May is a winner.
Okay.
And Drake May, whether he wins a bunch of games this year or not, when you surround him with talent and you give him the opportunities to win games, he will win games. Just like some of our wide receivers, I have questions as to they may win a few games moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make me feel any better about their internal makeup. And
yeah.
I think a lot of people throw around that idea, you got to learn to win and you got to win, 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 and winning matters. No, having the right people matters. And Gerard Mayo has said he's a people person. He believes in people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this team needs more good people, both in terms of on the field, but also, for lack of a better dorky term, dogs, like that kind of a person that's going to fight to the finish. I think they have some, because I think that's why we haven't seen the mutiny and we haven't seen the train wreck.
Right.
But I think we just so flippantly throw out, oh, they need to learn how to win. Guess what? If you win 7 games this year, you know what I think your best chance is next year? Probably 7 again, because you're not going to acquire the elite talent necessarily through the draft that I think you need.
Well, okay, but that's letting the Elliot Wolf off the hook a little bit, isn't it?
No, because it's easier to get elite talent closer to the top of the draft.
Sure it is, but you can trade back into the top of the draft, can't you?
Yeah, but if I'm up there, I can trade down and get multiple talent.
Fine.
It's always better to have a higher pick, correct?
Fine. It is better to have that, but that doesn't mean you can't have one just because you won 7 games.
Do you are you confident that Elliot Wolf can pull a Danny Ainge? And no matter what pick he has, he's going to find out a way to make it be the best pick.
No.
Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum trade down, bamboozle the Sixers, all of that stuff.
No.
Feels like when he even has odds in his favor, I'm not sure I trust him to get it done.
I mean, yeah, that's fair enough. I don't have a lot of love for Elliot Wolf right now. I don't think anybody does. This isn't a good roster, and we all kind of agree with that. But if you're 7-win team and you're picking 20th or whatever, or 5th, I don't know what 7 wins is going to put you in the draft order this year, but probably higher than you'd expect just based on all these bad teams here, then you can absolutely get back into the top 10 if you want to.
Sure, and by giving up the 2nd and the 3rd that I think you also need at linebacker and at edge rusher. I think this roster stinks. They need every pick they can get to be higher than as high as possible.
The question then becomes, do you trust Elliot Wolf to make those picks, or would you feel more comfortable with him trading them, getting into the top 10, and making that pick? And I know that if you already have a bad record in a top 10 pick, then you don't have to think about that stuff, but you also don't want these guys to go out and lose on purpose, right?
No, not lose on purpose. Like, I don't think they were ever going to lose on purpose to the Bears. I don't think they lost on purpose to the Titans. I just don't have a problem if they lose. And I don't think if they lose because they're not talented, because they're playing Ben Brown off a practice squad and DeMontre Jacobs off a practice squad.
Right.
And you know what I mean? That means you don't have talent. Doesn't mean none of the guys are you know, tough. I think Ramondre Stevenson runs his ass off. And I think Ramondre Stevenson will run his ass off behind a bad offensive line or a good one. The difference will be when he runs his ass off behind a good one, he's going to be 12 yards downfield. Behind a bad one, he's 2 yards downfield and he had to work his ass off for the 2 yards. So I want to collect more talent and add that to the core of what I think are worthy players and worthy fighters. But I don't really think you change a player's internal makeup by winning a couple games.
Yeah, you probably
I think you're either a competitor inside that I'm going to win with eventually when the team gets to a certain talent level and schematic level and coaching level, or you're a dog that I'm going to regret when I surround you with good talent and you cost me a game someday because you're kind of a dog.
Yeah, I suppose. I just think it's not necessary to have to start in that spot. And the fact that they did with Drake May already leaves me with not a lot of confidence in their ability to do these things that you're talking about.
Well, that's a separate issue.
Next year.
I have concerns about Elliot Wolf and his ability to maximize $130 million. And wherever the pick is, if the pick is 3, if the pick is 7, or the pick is 11, I don't know. Do I feel great about it? The one thing he's done is Drake May. And a lot of us believe that was kind of, you know, obvious, fall in your lap. Everybody, not name you, because you would have passed on him.
I probably would have. 617-779-7937. We got room for you here on WEEI Afternoons. We'll be replaying our Drake May interview in the 5 o'clock hour. However, when we return, the Pats and the Bears, two teams with rookie quarterbacks and very different plans of surrounding them with talent and getting them going in their first year. Let's do a quick comparison about where these two teams stand through 10 weeks in their first season. We'll do that right after Stiz gets you.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Caught up on what's trending. Gerard Mayo asked about being a playoff team.
Playoffs?
Maybe a little premature. Yeah, playoffs. Where's Jim Mora when you need him? I didn't think it was just based on the way the league is set up right now. I don't think that there's any problem asking that question, but I thought he answered it well. You know, we're just trying to win a game. We're trying to put one foot in front of the other here. I think that's what you do when you're 3-7 and what all these teams should be doing. You look at the rest of the schedule, and I do think it's going to be tough on New England and that they're going to have a hard time winning many more games, but again, I didn't think they were going to beat Chicago. I didn't think there was much of a chance of them beat. I didn't think they beat the Jets, and I didn't think they beat the Bengals. All three of their games were against the non-beatable teams, technically, when we looked at the schedule before the season started. They lost to Tennessee. They lost to Jacksonville. They lost to Miami with Snoop Huntley, and they beat three teams that we all thought were better than them, right? I mean, that's what they did.
For the most part, yeah, they didn't. I mean, the Miami game's a weird one because it wasn't the Miami you thought you were going to get.
Right.
But, yeah, they beat teams that I would not necessarily have predicted them to beat before the year started and lost to some teams that you would have hoped you were going to beat before the year started. And some of those are winnable games because we did have a caller last night that was like, you know, this team could easily have 5-6 wins. Mm-hmm. And they kind of could.
They kind of could.
They also probably could easily not have 5 or 6 wins.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're not a very good football team. But if you go back and say you could have beat Tennessee in overtime, you probably should have beaten Seattle.
Yeah, probably.
Could have beaten the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's three more wins right there. So all of a sudden, you're a 6-win football team. Now, that's not how it works. And I give Mayo credit. He answered that in a very coach-like manner. Because guess what? If they win every week, they'll make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
If you win every time you take the field, it's like when quarters do, like, win the quarter, win the game. Win the half, win the game. Like, yeah, if I win every half I play,
mm-hmm.
when you stack two of those together, that means I won the game. And that sort of mentality, I just don't think this team has earned. It hasn't earned the benefit of the doubt in anything.
I don't think
honestly.
So. That
really?
Maybe in the at the quarterback, but that's about it. Even there, you expect him to make mistakes. Yeah.
I love him more than anybody,
right.
And I think in 3 years he'll have my benefit of the doubt to way more often than not do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I think he's because
I meant
really,
benefit of the doubt as in you forgive his mistake. You know what I mean, like that.
Right,
kind of
but if you make mistakes, you're going to lose.
Right.
So I don't presume he won't make mistakes yet.
Yeah, okay.
Which
right.
is why I was really kind of annoyed with the idiocy of Twitter, which, yes, Andy, there's a lot of idiots on there. You're one of them, and I agree with that. But
I still don't understand that EO thing you tweeted. I'm looking at it. I'm having a hard time with it.
What
I thought it was like some weird signal.
M-A-Y-E.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an E in the quarterback.
Right.
And there's an O in the coach. That's the only
long
thing that differentiates
the
two people's last names. Otherwise,
true.
It'd be the same. So the E to the O.
So, okay. All right.
Anyway. I didn't care for – there were people after the interception that were like, Mac Jones 2.0, this guy sucks. He's a bum. We don't have a quarter.
That was a suck bag interception at the very – you can admit that, though, right? Yeah.
How many of those have we had?
Two.
Which was the other one?
He had another bad interception. When was it? Which one?
Houston.
The Houston game? He had a bad interception
just parrots
in the Houston
it
game.
Like,
no, I couldn't remember when it
they
was.
They said from. In my ear, Houston game. You're
it
like
was
a news anchor who just says whatever the producer.
No,
says.
I'm not. I said I just couldn't remember what game
it was.
Yeah, it
was the Houston game.
He had two picks in the Houston game, and one of them was really bad, and I forget exactly which one it was. But I
it was the first one. If you want your earpiece
one.
To tell you want to just give him your mic so he can talk for you.
Yes, it was the deep left for Pop Douglas intercepted by Bullock. I can't picture it right now, but I remember at the time talking about it and saying it was a bad interception. Maybe you thought it was a good interception. I don't know. Whatever, but I think there's at least two bad
I think
ones
this was
season.
The only, like, absolute Mac Jones brain fart, crap, don't want to see it ever again interception. And my point would be there's been a lot more plays than that interception. And he's in game 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
4, 5. And Mac Jones had 3 years and was still doing it. It
yep.
was getting worse, not better. So all these negative Nellies or whatever the hell you want to call them, it was negative after that interception on Twitter. And I just don't get it. Like, you have a quarterback. If you don't see more positive than negative in Mac Jones, damn it, Drake May,
yeah.
then I don't know what you're watching.
Fair enough. I think I see more positive than negative with him for sure, but I also think if every week he's throwing bad pee, he had two interceptions last week and a lost fumble, and then he started off the game with a very bad interception this week. I can see how that would carry over.
Ever heard of Josh Allen?
Of course.
You can enumerate all his interceptions and his fumbles, too.
Sure, you ever heard of Josh Rosen?
You
he had a bunch of bad games in a row.
You can enumerate his plays, and this guy makes plays.
He does.
Because I bet you, what can you come up with a longer list of? Plays you liked off the top of your head or plays you didn't like?
In that game yesterday or
no, no,
all
no.
season?
Totality.
Totality, I'd say plays I did like.
Okay, that's my point.
Yeah, sure.
And that's in the infancy. you presume, and I know it's not linear. There's no guarantee he's going to continue to get better. We were talking about C.J. Stroud. Mm-hmm. Has he regressed? Is he not as good? Is he not in the hierarchy of quarterback you may have thought he was going to be?
Right.
Whatever. But when you can say right out the gates on one of the worst football teams any of us has ever seen, correct? Mm-hmm. Like, this team is bad.
Yep.
The offensive line is terrible. They've been ravaged by injuries on defense.
I thought they were good yesterday, but yes.
Well,
the offensive line.
Relative to mm-hmm. the game.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a bad football team, and you can list way more good plays than bad from the rookie quarterback on a bad football team. I assume it's going to get better. And sometimes guys are going to make plays for him. Like Tom Brady. Remember when he said, how the F did you catch that when he throws to Gronk?
Yeah.
I'm hoping Drake May has some of those in the future where he can trust guys. He just talked about it with us. He trusts guys. One-on-one, I'm going to throw to Hooper. I'm going to throw to these. I'm going to hope at some point the guy's better than Hooper.
Yeah.
He's thrown to a guy that will make elite plays, like a holy crap kind of play. So those are going to come. The negativity, I don't see how anyone could have, and maybe it's just Twitter. Maybe I'm like taking the bait on trolls that don't really feel that way or just effing
around. I think
around.
You just love Drake May. That's all. You don't like it when anyone says
I think everybody should love Drake May.
Him.
Everybody in Patriot Nation should love Drake May right now. I'm talking to you, Paul Perillo. You were a little negative earlier with your tone. I didn't care for that either. So screw you if you're in the building or in your car or on a competing radio station.
Yeah.
Wherever the hell you are at this point.
Yeah, screw you, Perillo.
Screw you, Perillo.
It's all just pent-up anger towards Perillo, as usual. Let's go to the phones here, 617-779-7937. Dylan's in Plymouth. Go ahead, Dylan.
Hey, guys.
Hey,
how are you guys doing today?
Great. How are you?
Fine.
Is your last name Harper?
Pretty good. No, Murphy.
Oh, good. All right. What's up?
Well, you didn't have to get it.
Joke. Ah, okay. I wouldn't know that joke, Dad. Sorry. Well, I wanted to get
Oh, wait,
in,
wait. You're Shane and Plymouth kid, right?
Did
you're
your dad just kid? Tell you it was a porn
yeah,
joke?
Yeah, what'd you ask my son if his name's Dylan Harper? Come on, get your mind out of the gutter, Archie.
I actually didn't know
that
who that
Andy
was.
That was Andy who did that first
These
all,
guys
Shane,
had
yes.
to explain to me who that was. It's actually an elite college basketball prospect.
Well, Dylan was named
high.
After her, so there you go. What? What the hell?
Oh, man, gross.
Poor kid just found out he was named after a porn star.
That's pretty hot.
Oh,
anyway,
thanks,
what's what else is on your mind there? Well, we got both the Murphys here, so what's on your mind, both of you guys?
Well, you know, I wanted to say I think both of you guys were talking about whether we should be winning games or losing games. There's mm-hmm. good points for both of them. But I think with this team in particular, I say there's just no talent. And this team is actively trading away what little talent it has. And trust me, I'd love to get these guys some wins. It really is important for them to get wins in their resume, especially for the quarterback. But when it comes down to it, that 15th pick might end up, you know, costing us several seasons of mediocrity. And mediocrity is not how you win Super Bowls. You have to lose some games, unfortunately, and get some actual talent on this roster because it's awful, quite frankly. And
all right. I mean, listen, you're right. It's a bad roster. That's true. Christian Gonzalez was not picked in the top 10.
No.
Okay. He was picked with a.
He wasn't, but he shouldn't have fallen. Emmanuel right. Forbes got picked ahead of him for some godforsaken reason. He should
sure.
not have fallen that far.
But that was
the way
that Forbes was 60. So, I mean, like, that 15 picks went by, and Gonzalez was still there. So, I guess the point is that even if you're picking outside of the top 10, it's not impossible to get good talent.
No,
it's just not, you know, it's just that
it's
people are
easier.
Andy, maybe somebody will slide head first down to the later picks.
Tag team.
Hope they don't get parallel. Easy. Porn talk, tag team. What are we doing here?
Well, Jeez. We are. We're getting tag teamed by the Shane and Dylan father-son combo there. Like the
that was a good call.
Like LeBron and Bronny.
Only that was a good call.
Only in this case, the son is the good one. And then I was kidding.
That was a money shot of a call right
yeah,
there.
Hey, whoa, wow. All right. 617-779-7937. The Chicago Bears and the New England Patriots both drafted a quarterback this year in the top three. Bears went first overall with Williams after Jaden Daniels went second to Washington. The Patriots, of course, drafted Drake May. And the similarities basically end there, I would say. I think that, in general, the Bears had a much, much different philosophy about what to do with their rookie quarterback, how to surround them, guys to chase in free agency, trades, their other draft pick, picking up Adunze, who was a top 10 wide receiver talent in this past year's draft. All of that to say that right now Williams looks like a broken quarterback. That offense looks broken. Meanwhile, the Patriots, who I don't think are good or anything, and I don't think their offense is good or should be taking victory laps after putting up 19 points. But either way, it does seem like the Chicago plan, after a promising start, has really crashed and burned here.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I know that just magnifies how important the quarterback is.
Yeah.
And both teams have struggles to get to where they want to get to and not be in the conversation for top 10 picks and all of that. But if you get, and this was my argument all along, pushing back against, and for years I pushed back against this. My fights with Shime were legendary when he didn't want to draft Joe Burrow for the Bengals. And I said, yes, they have a million holes. But if you get the quarterback, everything else gets easier. Everything else is more doable. Mm-hmm. Everything else can be lesser, right? Like,
yeah,
it's that whole.
And it still might be a multi-year thing.
Oh, absolutely,
because
it's hard to win and all of that. But it's that whole argument we always talk about: you either got to have a top five roster or a top five quarterback. And I don't know if the Patriots have a top five quarterback. We'll see. You know, be weird if Josh Allen 1.0 and 2.0 are both in the top five. If they're like that whole nickname thing,
would be interesting.
But, like, C.J. Stroud's a perfect example. Top five quarterback, right? I'm not so sure.
I don't know about this year, yeah.
Is Jared Goff a top five quarterback?
Yes.
Not so sure. Like, we'll see.
Yes, I say yes.
Yeah, I mean, which of his five picks did you enjoy the most last night?
I liked all of them equally. It was like all my children. But I think, listen, even with that, they still won the game, and he's been awesome this year.
I also think he has a good coach and a good team and a good environment, and there's a lot. Like, he's a good offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
They've invested in playmakers.
Yep.
You know, Amon St. Brown came out of
fourth-round pick,
right,
yeah.
Like, but he's an elite player.
Mm-hmm.
He came in as a non-elite player, but he's an elite player. So those are the ways where you get good fast. And that's where I worry the most about Elliott Wolf is, can he, after this year's draft, where it's May and nada afterwards, he's got to find his Amon St. Brown. He's got to find these other picks that aren't just the number one pick.
Yeah.
Because you can't possibly go about your business that way. Now, the point I thought you were going to make was that, you know, your point of you don't need the high draft pick to succeed is last year the better quarterback didn't go with the highest pick.
Mm-hmm.
This year the better quarterback didn't go with the highest pick, so it proves you don't need the highest pick to succeed, which recent evidence kind of indicates that.
Yeah.
I still think in general I want the higher pick. I always want the higher pick, and I want to trust my GM to maximize it.
Right.
If the best thing to do is trade down, Bill Belichick, we all criticized. I mean, I did anyway. I thought you were going to have to trade up to get Christian Gonzalez. Mm-hmm. I thought he was going to be a top, like, five or six pick. And you traded twice, I believe, down to 17 to get him.
Yeah.
I don't know if I love that way of going about business. I think that was a risky proposition for Bill Belichick, but it worked. You got an elite cornerback with the 17th pick in the draft. So you're right. This year, could they get an elite something with the 13th, 14th, 15th pick in the draft? Yes. Is it more likely they get an elite something with the third, fourth, or fifth pick? I believe yes.
Yeah.
Some people probably push back on that. Some people probably don't believe that. I believe whoever the GM is, I want him to just have more options, more players that he can pick from. If you pick fourth, it's guaranteed only three people are gone.
Yeah.
So every other player in the draft is available to you.
Right.
I want that flexibility. I want that option. And you're going to get further from that if you win one or two more games.
That's true. I also think when it comes to position play, like if you have a quarterback, and recently I think this has been sort of magnified, but the top three quarterback, even the years when it was like Winston and Mariota, you know, if there's only like two or three, then you might whiff on one and the other one's better. Neither of them are very good. Generally, the first position guy to go off the board is pretty good. You know, like I sort of feel like with quarterbacks, you're more likely to miss on something as opposed to the top edge rusher in the draft or the top tackle or the top wide receiver or running back or any of those things. Like if it's someone who's going in the first round, and there's exceptions like Pitts in Atlanta and, other guys who Mario Williams, you remember that one year with Reggie Bush and Vince Young and all those guys, and Williams went second and everyone thought that was the worst thing ever. And he had a decent career and those other guys didn't really end up being that great. So I don't know. I think that there's kind of a conception about quarterbacks that you just got to land on the right one. But if you're in the Patriots position this coming draft and you're going for the best tackle or the best wide receiver, I don't know. I think that makes things a lot easier the way that quarterbacks get yanked off the board so early.
Well, my concern this year, and it's very early, I'm not going to pretend I've done a lot of research, is you're right. I think a lot of times the perceived other positions, elite players, whether it's Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver, something like that.
Joe Alt or whatever.
Like this year, even though it's still early, doesn't seem like there's a consensus as to who the best of anything is.
Actually, there's one guy. There's one guy everybody knows about. Plays both ways.
And they're not sure where he's going to play.
Doesn't matter either way.
So he has questions.
Either way, he's top five, I think.
No, but he has questions.
Yeah, he does.
So, like, Marvin Harrison.
How good can he be?
Marvin Harrison was, everybody thought, this guy's going to be a good NFL wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Bijan Robinson. Everybody had landed on, wow, this guy's going to be a good NFL running back.
Sure.
And maybe he's disappointed, you can argue, but he's a good NFL running back.
Yeah, and the pass rusher who the Texans drafted right after Stroud.
Oh, Will Anderson.
Will Anderson. I mean, you knew he was going to be good, and he's awesome. So, yeah.
I don't know how many of these guys feel like multi-year, oh, he's going to be an elite edge rusher.
Yeah.
There are some edge rushers, but I don't know all of them, and that makes me wonder if they're as good as they're supposed to be. And that's my concern as well. So there's no tackles, we're hearing. The wide receivers, everybody seems to like Hunter if he's a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Everybody likes the Arizona kid. But there's not that, oh, wow, you can either have the third best quarterback or the best wide receiver in the last 5 years. Is there the best wide receiver, tackle, edge rusher? Is there the best anything in the last 5 years in this draft?
I don't think so.
Doesn't feel like it
we'll
right
see.
Now.
We'll see. I mean, once the bowl games get started and you see these guys show out in the, or not, I guess, in big games, I feel like in the regular season things don't come to fruition right.
It might not. Quickly, and what worries me is actually your guy does seem like he is the generational talent.
Yeah.
But the question with him is, where's that talent going to play? And if you're the Patriots, do you want him at cornerback? Do you want to have these great corners, Gonzalez and Hunter, but we haven't solved any of the other issues on offense? We didn't get in a wide receiver. Or do we make him a wide receiver? Is he not as good? That's where it's weird with him.
That would be funny if they drafted Hunter, and then him and Marcus Jones are both like on defense.
Let's just play them both
two
ways.
Of the best offensive players in the game.
That would be actually pretty cool.
It would be kind of funny. They could have them both.
But they don't even do it with Marcus Jones now.
I know. They don't do anything with him. I think they should get him more involved.
Although he was a little shaky catching the ball yesterday on punts. He double-clutched a couple of them.
He had a fumble, yeah.
He not his best performance. Maybe it was the wind.
Yeah, it probably was. And the returns were still pretty good. So.
Oh, yeah. Once he gets the ball.
Once he gets
a jitterbug,
going.
He's tough to tackle.
Yeah, so we'll see. Interesting thought there, but I'm still on Team Travis Hunter, 100%. 617.
I know you wear your stupid shirt.
7937 is the phone number. When we return, the Boston Bruins lost to Linus Ullmark, and by the way, they didn't get a shot off in the entire third period of that game. I don't really know what to make of this team, and I don't think they do either. And I think that this could be it here for Jim Montgomery. That's coming up next. There you go. That's how it ended. With Judd Surratt on the call there, the Bruins fall to the Ottawa Senators. 3-2 your final score in overtime. Bruins and the Senators now with not the exact same record. I think Senators are 7-7. Bruins are 7-7-2. And I'll tell you what, when I was a kid, I loved Keith Tkachuk. Oh, did I think I loved watching him play. I thought he was just a perfect combination of skill and toughness. And I cannot tell you how much I hate both his kids. Oh, my God, his kids drive me nuts. I see their face, and I just, ugh.
And you'd love if they played for the Bruins.
Oh, my God, I'd buy both their jerseys, and it's a hot second. But they don't, and they kill the Patriots. Kill the Bruins, and they killed them again. But it wasn't just that. It wasn't just because of Brady Tkachuk. 21 seconds into overtime with that goal on a blocker side with Swayman. I don't know if he got a screen there or whatever. Another not great game from him, but you got yourself a Boston Bruins team that's so dysfunctional in a tie game in the third period, does not put a shot on net against their old pal, Linus Ullmark, decided to give him the entire period off to skate around, have a little water, maybe go make a sandwich on the bench, whatever. Did not have to make one single bleeping save in that entire period. And I'm sorry. I mean, that's beyond Jeremy Swayman. That's beyond the defense. That's beyond everything other than that offense and that offensive game plan and that head coach, who I'm sorry, after a performance like that, it's a lot easier to turn him into a sacrificial lamb than maybe it would have been before. And I still don't think this is all his fault. Mm-hmm. I still don't think you can put this all on Montgomery and say, hey, you know what? Your message isn't echoing anymore, and this team's tuned you out, or whatever it is that you want to say about that. It's more than a coach's problem when you can't get one shot on goal in the third period. That's a team-wide thing. That's the players. That's everything.
And we talked about it last week where I thought Marchand had that game where he was a little bit more active, and maybe that would be something that would jumpstart the offense and more pucks on net and things. Even though he was frustrated because he didn't maximize a lot of those opportunities, and it hasn't really continued. That's the one thing. Not only are they not good, there doesn't feel like there's any trending momentum or like baby steps kind of thing. And this idea that they all continue to – Marchand's talked about it. I think Montgomery's talked about it. Think and not play with the fluidity that you need to in an NHL game. And if you're thinking, you're not going to get shot. Well,
right.
Okay, so is that on him? Because that doesn't feel like that's on him. I'm a big believer that he deserves blame. Because I'm sorry, when an entire team underperforms, regresses, doesn't maximize their abilities, that feels like it points to the coach.
Yep.
But why are they all thinking? Why are they all slow mentally and physically in some combination connection between the two? Like, that's on him? Does he have to say go faster? Like, I've seen these memes where they make fun of youth sports parents, like, run fast. No, you know, kids don't run fast.
Oh,
if
run
you don't
fast,
tell you.
Right.
Okay. I was just going to jog down the field and let the guy tackle me or hit me. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Does he have to tell them to skate fast, pass fast, like, do the shoot fast? I mean, they are NHL players. They have played a lot of hockey. They should know how to play the
Absolutely.
Game of hockey. So
through regulation in that game, the Bruins had 20 giveaways and 15 shots on goal.
That's not good.
That's not just the coach. I'm sorry. Like, that's...
But what is it?
That's a meltdown. It's just a team that's melted down.
But how do you
fix
that?
It seems like to me. I don't know. I don't know exactly. A new voice in the room. If all it's going to take is a new voice in the room to stop, to change that, then this has got to be the worst voice of all time. And it's hard for me to believe that because they followed him to the best record in the regular season 2 years ago and had a good regular season last year and actually did a decent job in the playoffs. I didn't think it was an embarrassing run to the playoffs last
year. No.
But whatever happened this year, whether it's the changes in the roster or what, this whole thing just isn't working. I mean, really, and I know they'd won 3 out of 4 prior to this, so it's not like it was all bad, but that was a bad loss and just a no-show at home against an opponent that you want to make an impression against, your old goalie.
Yep.
You want to go out there and beat him. He didn't even have to do anything in that third period. That's inexcusable to me. I don't know. I don't know what you do about
that. Yeah, I do think that's also a problem. So two Panthers games, an Allmark game, like, I'm not sure they're even able to muster up a little something extra for the games they should. But getting back to the play and the sloppiness and the turnovers and like, are they running drills where they practice turnovers and don't shoot? Like, is that what they do in practice? I find that hard to believe. I'll ask Scott. I'm not down there all the time. I know he's down there. I just don't understand how it can be team-wide. Like, you can't lump this on really any one person or any couple people.
No.
It's pretty widespread, and that's where I struggle. And are you just going to bump up one of the assistant coaches? So somebody who's already there,
mm-hmm.
who has the opportunity to interact with every one of these players on a daily basis, is that person going to somehow, because they get an elevation in title to interim head coach, now their message is going to land better? Well, what are they doing right now?
Call up the AHL guy. That's what they did. That's what they did with Cassidy, right? He
okay.
was down there in the AHL. They called him up, and then he was the coach for a while. And then Montgomery was an outside hire. But listen, I'd be okay going outside the system for the next guy. I think that it seemed like a good idea at first with Montgomery. And if it's someone that they're all familiar with, that may or may not be a good thing. You're right.
I mean,
they may be too comfortable with this group.
Yeah, I don't see a simple solution, honestly. This is starting to feel, and they could make the playoffs. They're not out of the playoffs by any means. This is already starting to feel like some sort of lost season where you wasted a season. And that's unfortunate because we know these teams have window. Like a guy like Brad Marchand,
mm-hmm.
I don't think he's going to get better moving forward.
No.
He's going to get older.
He might have stretches where he's playing.
Sure,
well,
but he's aging.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's only got a couple years left and isn't playing his best hockey right now. Maybe he's on, you know, a faster downward trajectory.
The only time he ever does anything good is when they're right about to fire
overtime.
Jim Montgomery.
Right.
It's overtime.
In overtime, when they're gonna can the coach, he's like, okay, coach, I'll save your job tonight.
Yep. He took that one off on Saturday, but still, that's generally been when he's popped up. 617-779-7937. If you missed our Drake May interview, fear not, everybody. We will replay it for you here in about 5 minutes. We'll go back over, if you missed it already, you'll hear all the answers that he had about the problems before in the week at practice, what he saw on the field, and more. Drake May, when we return.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.